Not a lot.
Me and you and Greg, one on two. Yeah. I'm always on this.
They're coming, I promise.
If you had a chance to look at it, I know Peyton had a big day. It was your best day rushing the football as a team. Was it his individual effort primarily, or just what do you see when you watch?
Yeah, it was both. It was both. We did a pretty good job of run blocking. Not perfect, but we did a pretty good job of run blocking. Left some out there. And Peyton, the best thing Peyton did is he made yards after contact and broke some tackles.
And was that, is this just the time of year? I mean, obviously Doug was injured, could not play, so you had options there with your three running backs and they all played. But for him to get the majority of the workload running the ball, was that something that you wanted to see what he could do? Or, you know, because there had been a lot of games where he hadn't carried the ball.
Yeah, both. I mean, it was a combination of both those. We did one, you know, when Peyton's gone in there on a limited basis, he's done okay. And, you know, that coupled with Doug being out led to him getting more. And then, you know, we've seen it many times. A running back gets in a little bit of a groove, and it's one of those days where he's making yards. You as long as you can do it efficiently, you keep feeding him.
Obviously, it doesn't matter until Doug comes back healthy, but seeing Peyton kind of sustain what he did for a full game, how likely are you to want to continue him in that role moving forward in the last 4 years?
Yeah, well, we'll see when that we get to that point. I mean, right now we don't have that option because Doug's in the protocol still. But, you know, if you could go out there and duplicate 165 yards rushing every week, you'd do it. But unfortunately, it's not guaranteed. It's not quite that easy. But, yeah, you'd love to.
I know you always talk about controlling the ball. I mean, so many things you guys did good yesterday would normally spell a victory. I mean, time of possession and all those.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, when you look at the whole game, I mean, it really comes down to that stretch in the second quarter where in back-to-back possessions, we get the punt blocked. We get the punt blocked, gives them a short field of 45 yards. Now, we could stop them, but we didn't. Okay, and remember now, we were in field goal range. We were on the 30-yard line. So that's, you know, depending on your math, that could be a 10-point difference. And then, on the punt block, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Get the punt blocked, short field, they score 7 points. Then on the next drive, we get the sack fumble. We're in field goal range, so that's three we might have had, seven they got. Okay, so that's, you know, that group. And then both field goals, the one we came, but we answered that. You know, that's two bad things to happen to you. We answered. We had a nice drive right before half. Had a good opportunity to get a touchdown right before half. Didn't. Had to kick a field goal. There's another 4 points. And then at the end of the game, before the touchdown drive, the drive before that when we had to settle for a field goal, again, a couple good opportunities. So, but those two back-to-back series in the third quarter, and our defense had very little to do with that. So that's how you can have all those numbers, time of possession, first downs, third downs. You can have a lot of numbers, and it shouldn't have added up to 21 points. I mean, you know, that's a game where you need to be scoring in the 30s, and then it's not an issue at the end.
Well, I should say, was it surprising that with your defense only had to play less than 10 plays in the third quarter that they weren't more effective in the fourth quarter stopping them and in overtime on those drives?
I don't know if surprising is the right word. I mean, you know, you want your defense to stop them no matter how many plays they have to play, whether they play 10 or 50. That's what they get paid to do. And, you know, on the day, our defense played good pass defense, but not good enough stopping the run. And then, you know, at the end of the game, you know, we had prepared for some zone read. They hadn't shown it most of the game. They did a good job setting it up. And then at the end of the game, they made us we were committed to stopping the halfback, and the quarterback pulled it. And, you know, we had some breakdowns there at least three times where he pulled it out and, you know, we let him out. And I think that's what Hundley probably does best.
Can you talk about how injuries in clusters can present problems as you've dealt with at all kinds of positions? It seemed like you guys had been in a position to handle the O-line being shorthanded and then Holly gets sick, and that's probably even more out of your control than an injury. How much did that create a problem for the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, we had to go in different than we practiced all week. It's not the first time or the last time that will ever happen. So, you know, it's not ideal, but we had to do it, and that also forced the move of letting a player go and bringing Mike Litke up just so we had seven guys healthy. With that said, you know, I thought the O-line, the lineup that we put out there did a better than we have been doing from a run game standpoint, and then a lesser job in protection. And you know, it's one thing to get beat in pass protection. It's gonna happen. But we had like three mental errors where we just didn't block the look right. You know, that's just the details of the protection, which we hardly ever have those in protection, and that's disappointing.
Was that communication?
It wasn't communication. It was, you know, just that one guy that had the breakdown, not recognizing it. I mean, we just flat turned guys loose. I mean, you know, Matthews on the one coming from Jameis's left, the other one that came from Jameis's right. I mean, we just flat turned them loose. I mean, you just don't see that. And you know, we did it on those two for sure.
Coach, you had a couple momentum changing penalties. One on Justin's return on the interception. You get the ball down on the 34, but it gets brought back to your 40 because of the Quan Alexander block, and then also Evan Smith there right at the 2-minute warning. When you look back on film, were those clear penalties? I mean, I'm not trying to get you fined, obviously. Just what was your look?
If I give the answer that I really think, will you pay the fine?
No, Rick Stroud will.
We're dealing with a different economy.
Yeah. You know, it's just if they call them, they're penalties, whether I think they are or not. And, you know, we turn plays in, they give us an answer back, and then I can't tell you guys what the answer was. But, you know, there's a lot of – shoot, I could never be an official. The real time that they have to call that stuff in is impossible. And, you know, with the way these guys are, and, you know, I think going into last week we were – 8th or 9th in the league in penalties. After this game, we're 13th. We're back kind of in the middle. And we definitely had some penalties that hurt us. But I did not agree with every call, but I'm never going to agree with every call.
I was just going to say, Pamples had that elbow injury and his struggle. It looked like he may have aggravated. I couldn't really tell, but it seemed to be bothering him. He didn't have a particularly good game. Is that a factor in his play?
Well, you know, we have several guys that are banged up and are playing through it, which, you know, that's a positive and a negative. The positive is that they're battling through it. The negative is they can't play as well as they're probably capable of playing. And Kevin, you know, Kevin, major props because he's got more than one thing bothering him. And he's a guy that every time we have to flip-flop somebody, he's usually the one that's penalized. You know, he's usually the one. He was playing right tackle all week in practice and back to left guard without practicing, although, you know, it's not like he forgot how. But we have multiple guys that are in that situation, and Kevin can play better than he did, but at the same time, you wouldn't want to be without him either.
Will Clark, you've had, since the start of the season, I think you have one sack and a fumble recovery. What did he do to be in position to get two sacks as he did Sunday?
He was just in position, you know, that more than anything else. He was just in the right position. And, you know, Will's a guy that came to us as a street free agent, and he's worked his way up due to injuries. He's playing more, and you know, the guy goes out there and tries to do things right, and you know, sometimes it still shows up in the stat sheet, sometimes it doesn't. He also was very close to blocking a punt. He's on our punt return team, and he had two nice rushes. And the one that they got on us, he had one very similar on their long snapper that he almost got.
When you went back and look, I know Jameis had the turnover and then he crossed the line of scrimmage, but came back and threw a touchdown after that. But that could have been a big mistake at that point. Just overall, what did you think of his play? He was under duress the whole day.
Yeah, like we said last night, he was under more pressure than normal. Did a lot of good things and some plays you want to have back. I mean, yeah, the drive that you're referring to when he crossed the line of scrimmage, I mean, that was one of the craziest drives ever. You get it on the three, they jump off sides, it's first and goal on the one, the running back falls down, we fumble, Jameis recovers, then we scrambles on second down, throws it, we get another penalty, and then we end up somehow scoring on third and 11 on a really nice throw and catch. You know, the sack fumble was an example of Jameis. He's got it. he's got to just eat it. And he did eat it a couple times yesterday. And, you know, that's where he's just – he's got to get better at when the play is not there, you've got to protect the ball first and go down. And you just – there's no, it's not his fault. But you can't – that hurt us. That was a 70-yard and a 7-point turnaround. But Jameis did a lot of good things in the game. I mean, he had a – 112 passer rating, didn't throw any interceptions, threw two touchdowns, did a good job on third down, made some nice scramble plays.
Was the screen game something that you saw in particular to the Packers, or was it just because it was effective you stuck with it?
Well, if you noticed in the game, their game plan, so to speak, was they played a lot more two deep five under zone and two deep man under zone. So usually when teams do that, in essence, they're trying to double your wideouts. And so you got to do something else. So we got OJ down the middle once. We got Cam a couple times. The other thing in zone coverage is your screen game, and on your outside screens, you know that we got a third down on an outside screen to Humphreys. We got a first down on two first downs on outside screens to Chuck. So we always have somewhere between five and eight screens in a game plan, and I thought we even left some out there, you know, in that drive right before the half. We had first down on about the 17, 18-yard line. Man, it was set up nice. They were in zone, and you know, we got like 1 yard out of it, and we had two guys out there to block one. But that's the best our screen game has been in recent weeks, and we work hard on it. We try to be a good screen team. But that's one of the byproducts of them trying to take away your wideouts.
Issue last week about Cam Brayton, his numbers being down, less passes thrown his way. I don't think Green Bay had given up a touchdown to a tight end all season until the Steelers week before you guys. Was there something particular you saw, or is it just a matter of him being a guy that gets open in the red zone?
Well, on the first one, on the 28-yarder, that was one of those times when they were playing two deep man under. So two deep man under, the middle of the field is open, and the target of that play was Mike Evans, okay, but because of the coverage, Jameis read it, middle of the field. Cam had a double move, ran a beautiful route, and made a nice play on a nice throw. The second one was just, you know, it's third and 11 from the 11. There's only so many plays you can run. So, no, there's nothing about Green Bay in particular. It's, you know, there's something about Jameis and Cam in the red zone. And, you know, to be honest, in that drive right before the half when we had to kick the field goal, we had a great chance at hitting Cam on another touchdown, and, you know, Jameis overthrew it a little bit. But there's just something. Cam and Jameis got a good feel for each other down there.
Anything else? Overall, I think we asked you last night, you know, the scoreboard is what it is. But, boy, it just seems that you guys played well enough to win, and yet it really comes back to those two plays that you talked about, right?
Well, you're watching TV and they show, okay, here's the teams that are in, here's the wild card. It's easy to go back in your head and say, okay, well, what if we would have done this in this game and this in this game and this in this game, and then we're sitting here with this record. Yeah, you know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, but they're not. I mean, that's just not how you're judged. The scoreboard is how you're judged, and we understand that. And you know, you can play good, but the scoreboard, that's why they keep score. I mean, it's just we came out on the short end, and we didn't do enough playing or coaching.